Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fly Girl Show. I am your host, Casey Grant, and we have a wonderful show today. We are going to have you flying through the air and flying on an airplane and everything with this wonderful guest of mine. Her name is Priscilla Lingenfelter. Now, is that a mouthful or what? And she is definitely a mouthful of adventure and interest, and you are going to love listening to her story today. And so once again, this is the Fly Girl Show, and we come on every Wednesday at 11 Central Standard Time, and we have all these wonderful, interesting guests that you need to tune in and not miss. My call-in number, so you can spread the word to all your family and your friends, is 347-857-3609. So please pass the word and tune in, and also go on the website, which is blogtalkradio.com/thefly10, and follow me so that you won't miss out on any of the interesting shows that we will have every week for you. So I think that is enough about the show, and let's get on with this wonderful interview with Miss Priscilla, the showgirl aerialist, Miss Priscilla Lingenfelter. Hello and good morning.
Good morning, Casey. Let me start off by first giving praise to God, who is the head of my life. And I want to congratulate you on Stars in the Sky. I recently just ordered this book, and I can't wait to read it. Just fascinating about the history of Black flight attendants, just the history of aviation. And I also want to congratulate you on the NAACP nomination that you received.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited. That's going to be next week, so we will see. I'm just honored to be nominated. So whether I win or not, I've already gotten my glory. I'm happy that they found the book worthy of being nominated. So thank you so much for acknowledging that.
Oh, you're so welcome.
So let's get going on this whirlwind of a life. Where are you from? How did it start? What in the world persuaded you to want to fly through the air and not on an airplane?
Well, I'm from Rockford, Illinois. I went to a school of performing arts. It had always been my dream to be a performer. And I saw an audition for Ringling Brothers in a dance magazine, and I went to the audition, the Rosemont Horizon, which is now the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, and my career started with Ringling in 1990 with the Blue Unit. From there, I went on to perform with Tejani Spectacular in San Juan, Puerto Rico. I came back to Ringling in 1993, and once again, I came back to Ringling with the Blue Unit in 1994. So not too many people have done both units for Ringling Brothers, so I feel very honored to have done the Red Unit and the Blue Unit.
So now, you, with these two units, tell us about the actual thing that you did. I mean, aerialist, to me, it's about swinging high above everyone. And so exactly what was your performance?
Well, we did, Ringling is known for Spanish Web, and they're also known for their trapeze. But my thing that I did was a gag with the famous Ringling Brother clowns called Laura, which is a leer act. It's about 20 feet in the air. There's no net under me. So obviously you can't be afraid of heights. And,
no.
Obviously you can't be afraid of heights. I really enjoyed my time with Ringling, and as my dad, my late father said, you just have a adventurous spirit. He's like, you just don't have enough adventure in your life. And maybe that was true, but Ringling was one of the best jobs that I ever had, and it truly prepared me for my life as a flight attendant.
Well, yes, I'm sure it does. It's, I mean, the only thing I can see at this point is that you have in common is that you're up there above everything. And but how does a person, did you look at the circus? Did you always want to be in the circus, and you decided you wanted to fly and be an aerialist? How does someone become interested in that?
Well, you know what? I never wanted to run away and join the circus. Honestly, that was like some kids you talk to, they go, oh, my dream is to run away and join the circus. No, that was never my goal. My goal was always to become a flight attendant, and it just went in a roundabout way, came full circle. And as I said, you know, I auditioned for them. I saw audition, and, you know, I've danced pretty much all my life. I went to a school of performing arts, Rockford Auburn High School, and, you know, I just thought that that was something great and unique to do at the time.
So they train you. So you don't – people – so if you run away, if for those who might want to run away and join the circus, so is it that you would go there, you would audition, and they would put you in different acts in there and train you? Because you were a dancer,
exactly.
So you were limber.
Right,
but,
right.
But you weren't used
exactly.
to flying. Yeah.
No, I was not – born into the circus. Like, I have friends, John and Laura Weiss, we call them circus royalty. Their children are, they were born in the circus. So unlike a lot of other people that were born in the circus, I had no circus experience. Ringling just took a chance upon me and trained me how to do aerial work and how to be a showgirl.
Well, how many blacks were in that field when you entered into it?
Well, there's a, at the time, we had a total of 3 showgirls that were African-American, and my mentor is Miss Bernice Collins. Miss Bernice Collins is the first black female clown to ever be at Ringling Brothers. She's also the first animal trainer for tigers and horses. So I owe a lot to Miss Bernice Collins. She took me under her wings, and she showed me how to do a lot of things that I didn't know how to do when I got to the circus, like putting on my eyelashes. And she just was a really good mentor. She's still a very good friend. So I just feel very, again, I feel very honored to have been with something so great.
It's so, this training, most of the training, obviously your timing has to be impeccable.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you have to have upper body strength.
Exactly. Well, you know, one of the things that we would do as dancers, I performed in all kinds of arenas, like the United Center. This is a little bit of history for you. We were the first team to open the United Center in Chicago.
Okay.
So one of the things that we would do as dancers, you could see dancers every night after the show running the arena stairs to keep our bodies in shape. You could see dancers doing pull-ups and chin-ups on the trapeze bars. So there are a lot of things that we did to keep our bodies in shape. And let's not forget, Ringling had, at the time, they had weigh-ins on Saturdays. So, you know, that was a big thing. And I can remember being on the Red Show, and the performance director, John Dito, saying to me, you're losing weight. And me coming into the weigh-ins with a donut in my mouth and coffee, and I go, John, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just losing weight, you know. So I never had that problem of gaining weight. I had a problem of losing weight when I was on the show with Ringling.
Well, and either way, you know, for the weigh-ins, for which you don't know anything about, but we had weigh-ins as flight attendants. And originally all that weight thing started with the airlines because the planes, the passenger weight and all that stuff, and it still is the same thing. It's all added into the plane being able to take off. Well, your weight was important, number one, because I'm sure there's a certain feel or a certain grip that they expect to get from you, and if you lose, I mean, that would throw off their touch in that connection. Am I right?
That is correct, but also, you know, showgirls are, you know, when you think of showgirls, you think of just beauty, the artistry of beauty, and we had a wardrobe mistress, Gloria Wilkerson, that I still can hear her to this day. She said, ladies, I will take them in, but I won't let them out, so you must watch your weight.
Oh,
so,
So I can
remember her saying that in winter quarters. You know, winter quarters is where we would go every year to put the shows together before we took them out on the road. So, yeah, so I can remember Gloria Wilkerson saying, ladies, you must watch your weight. So I can't emphasize this enough. Ringling was a very exciting time for me, and I never realized how special Ringling really was. It didn't dawn on me until I was in the Mrs. Denver pageant, when a judge asked, he said, well, how great and fabulous is that to be a part of something great? And I thought about it. I'm like, wow, I really was a part of something great. I mean, how many people can say that they worked beside Gunther Gable Williams? How many people can say that that they know David Lariblé, a famous clown, Bell O'Nook, John Weiss, another famous clown. And this is another piece of history for you. Lou Jacobs, who, if you ever watch The Greatest Show on Earth, Lou Jacobs is the clown that comes out of the little car.
Oh, okay.
He's the clown that comes out of the little car. And another bit of history for me is that I got to work with his daughter, Dolly Jacobs, who is a phenomenal, phenomenal aerialist, and she's known for her ring work. I mean, just amazing, amazing, amazing person. And so I'm going to give you another bit of history, is
okay.
That Charlton Heston starred in The Greatest Show on Earth. And for me, one of the highlights of my touring with Ringling is that I got the opportunity to meet Charlton Heston. So every time I see the Ten Commandments, I just think of Charlton Heston. He was larger than life. He really was someone that was larger than life.
Well, I think that this, the world of the circus, is something that the average person, we go, we enjoy, but I don't think that any of us really think beyond what their lives are like, the circles that you run in, and the people, because as you named off these famous clowns, we would never know what they look like if they walked
right
past us. So,
you know both
sides of that person. We just know the act, as you just said, because that, when you said the one that comes out the little car, I immediately knew, but I never knew his name. And I never knew anything about him. So for you to just give us a little insight on the circus world and the family, because you guys are such, you have to have been a tight family.
Yes, exactly. Ringling is a very close-knit family environment. And that's one thing that I can truly say that I loved and enjoyed with my time with Ringling, was that I felt like I had an extended family. And I still feel like I have an extended family.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that you could do any of those things now if they called you back and said, we need you to come and just be with the circus on the weekend? Do you think you could set up, would you want to go up there now and fly through the air?
I have to let you in on a little secret, Casey. I just discovered recently in my 51 years that all of a sudden now I'm afraid of heights. You couldn't pay me to do that kind of thing now. It's rather funny.
But audience, please realize, and we are going to get to this, that she is now still a flight attendant. So even though she has just confessed to being afraid of heights, I understand. We're going to discuss that later on because I'm just so mesmerized with this whole thing of you being an aerial showgirl aerialist that I've got so many questions that I'm hoping my audience, I hope I'm answering or asking some of the questions that they're sitting and listening and saying, well, what about? Well, what about? So I hope I'm addressing some of these issues because I just think it's so fascinating to think of anyone who's flying through the air.
Yeah. At the time, like I said, I was young, and now I realize that flying through the air, I could hurt major body limbs that might not heal, you know?
So do you think the statement is true that God takes care of babies and fools then?
Very much so. Very much so. Yes, indeed.
Oh, my goodness. Well, tell us, everyone, of course, wants to know a story. So give us a story on maybe your first show and how well, and, you know, everyone wants to know near misses type of thing. I don't know if you wanted any type of almost you didn't make it type of a story.
Well, you know, I think the saddest thing for me is, and I know you have pictures up of this, is the derailment in Lakeland, Florida, January 13, 1994. That's very sad to me. And it's been over 20 years, and I still see Ted Servinsky, Cecily Conkling, the clown that we lost. I still see their faces, and I some days still think about the derailment and how God spared me to still be alive to be a flight attendant. And I just feel grateful that I'm alive to tell my story and to continue to do great things. It just wasn't my time. And my prayers and thoughts always go out to Bonnie Cox, Conklin, Cecily Conklin's mom. No parent should lose a child. So my thoughts and prayers are always with her. And my thoughts and prayers are always with Ted Servinsky, his family as well.
Well, I do have the pictures of the train derailment on the site. But give me, you guys were going in between trips. Give us a little insight of what cabin were you in, and were there any forewarnings? So just give us a little insight, if you don't mind, in sharing that.
I remember we left Tampa, Florida, and it was about 9:30 in the morning maybe, and you could feel a jolt, and I had a few explicit words when that jolt happened. I was like, don't they know that there are people on this train? And one thing I have to tell you, when we do a train run, if you have a TV or anything, you bungee that TV so that it doesn't fall on you during the train run. And, that day when that jolt happened, Cecily Conklin, which we were in the dancer's car, and she knocked on my door, and she said, wow, did you feel that? Something wasn't quite right. And she said, do you want to go down to the train master's car to see? I go, no, you know what? I'll just stay here. And that's why I say that God has a purpose for me, because who knows, if I had went with her that day, I possibly would not be having this interview with you today. So, when, you know, it was a very surreal experience. Once the dust settled, literally, I just remember walking outside of the train and seeing all of this dust, and then just to see the damage and the magnitude of this derailment was just unreal.
And, so let me ask you a question. So the jolt that you felt was the beginning of the derailment, and when she walked to the through the cabin, is that when she was on the car that was derailed?
Well, our car was also derailed, but as she walked through, yes, that was one of the cars that the generator car, as we called it. The generator car gives us all of our power and electricity. And so as she was going through that generator car, that jolt was possibly what caused that generator to fall upon her.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, as we all know, when it's your time, it's your time. And so as you just said, had you been with her, you still may have survived. But the fact is you weren't supposed to go with her. And that's just the way that is. And so I understand you are still, I wouldn't say suffering, but feeling the effects of the survival, the guilt of survival ship or whatever, however they phrase that, but you did survive and others did not, but it wasn't your time. And that's one thing
exactly.
That we always have to know. Yeah, we always have to know that. And I'm sure that it's like anything else. Like if you've ever been in a car accident, you always remember and reminded of the sound. And I'm sure it brings back memories to you, flashes all the time about that train derailment.
It does, but I will tell you one thing that I'm grateful for is that, you know, we have a lot of nervous flyers getting to the flying part of it, and people constantly want to know, well, do you worry about crashing? And I'm like, no. I said, you know, I worked for the greatest show on earth, and I didn't worry or ever anticipate living through a train derailment. So I never think about crashing or you know, not coming home. I always think, Casey, when I go out on a trip, I'm coming home to my wonderful husband, John, and my adorable Maltese. So, you know, that's my frame of thought. You know,
well, it has to be. And my niece just asked me that question the other day because for some reason now she's developed this fear of flying. And she asked me, she said, were you ever worried? And I said, no, because what I do, and I still do the same thing, I say a prayer. I say, bless all of us, bless the pilot. And then we have a job to do. When you're working, you don't have time to think about the plane not making it. You've got a job to do. So
exactly.
For those passengers. Exactly. So for the passengers that are nervous, and I can understand that, you just say a prayer and you give it up to God and you move forward. And you think about when you land, how much fun you're going to have with your family and your friends,
exactly.
Whoever you're going. Yeah. So let's get to the transition. Let's transition now from you flying in the air, and that was just a matter of you applying for a job, being accepted, and you just embraced the whirlwind lifestyle. You had no idea what you were getting into, but it was all fun and an adventure. Is that correct?
You know, it's very – after I left Ringling, I should tell you this. I dipped in the acting world for a little bit, and my manager or my agent in New York thought I was totally crazy for going to the aviation world because – when I did my extra work in the movie industry, I did such films as Carly Little's Way, Money Train, Girl 6, Who Shot Andy Warhol, City Hall, and a few commercials. He was like, I've never seen anyone get so much work, and you want to leave that to go work in the aviation world. He's like, I will give you my blessing. He said, but I think you're crazy for doing that. And I said, you know what? I may be crazy for doing it, but this really is my lifelong dream is to become a flight attendant. Now, you asked me recently if I always wanted to run away and join the circus. That was not my lifelong dream, although I'm grateful for it. I'm extremely grateful for it because, as I've said, it has helped develop me to be a great flight attendant doing being a part of Ringling. But my lifelong goal was always to be a flight attendant.
Well, okay, so now let's get the sandwich in between here. Let's get the meat. Now, you went from the Ringling Brothers, and now you became Mrs. Denver 12.
Mm-hmm.
No, not
right.
For my assumption is that it's 2012.
Right, 2012, I was Mrs. Denver. So,
and how did you go from, how did you do that? That was really an accomplishment also. I'm proud of that.
Well, my whole purpose for doing that at the time was to bring awareness to black lost and missing children. I thought that was the best platform to have to get my point across, that when children of color, whether they be Hispanic, Asian, they are not given the same attention that a blonde hair or blue-eyed child is given.
Absolutely correct.
So that was my focus. And Pam Jones from CBS 2, she's a former anchor from CBS 2, was just tremendous in helping me bring awareness to lost and black missing children.
Okay.
So that was my whole thing about doing that, and I just wanted to bring awareness to the fact that children that go missing of color aren't given the same press coverage. And I'd like to thank, too, Peas in the Pot, Black and Missing, a young lady that in the Chicago area that was very instrumental. I'd like to just give a big shout out to her, is Don Valente, who just worked so tirelessly in helping me. I had a personal situation of my nephew being missing, so I'd like to thank her and Cynthia Chiron from Lost and Missing. These two women just were very instrumental in bringing that information to the general public about our children that go missing, that are children of color.
Okay. Did you... And so at that point, my goodness here, I'm sorry, and I'm wondering if that's one of our callers to try to get on the air, but I'm wondering if they have messed up our studio time. So keep going now. So the coverage of all of that, and I'm glad to know that the end of the story about your nephew was that your nephew came out and everything was fine. You found
your nephew. Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. So
good.
That was a good point. That was a happy ending story for everyone. So very happy about that. So I really like to say that I enjoy the career path that I'm in now as a safety professional for one of the bigger airlines.
And that airline is? You can call and say their name.
United Airlines. United Airlines. I'm happy to have or to say that I've been with a magnificent, wonderful company for, I'll be going into my 18th year come
18?
January 16th.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I've been flying for United for 18 wonderful years, and it never gets old. I feel like it's my playground.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is. Different places and different, you're meeting interesting people. And so now you have come full circle, even though it was through, not even, but you went through the circus to finally end up flying through the air on an airplane.
And I love it, Casey. Every day I thank God for the opportunity to go to work, have fun, And at the end of the day, I can bring my luggage home and park it in my closet and just enjoy life. A lot of people can't say that. A lot of people can't say, well, when I come home, I can just unwind and be me or just enjoy life. A lot of people can't say that. And I feel very blessed and fortunate that I'm a part, again, of something great. There are a lot of people that want this job, and it's one of the best jobs that I have, next to Ringling, that I've ever had the opportunity to have. I mean, how many people can say that when they wake up in the morning that they're happy to go to work?
Exactly, and most people cannot. And the good thing of all the wonderful perks is, as you know, I did 35 years. And one of the perks of it is that, as you just said, you come home and you drop your suitcase. That's the best part about it. You leave the job. You had a wonderful experience. And as I always try to let people know, that you're not just a pretty face on that airplane. You're one of the safety features, one of the most important safety features on that aircraft. Thank you. And all of the people. I'm sorry.
We're the first responders. I mean, I know people just see us as, oh, we're pouring cokes, but we're the first responders. We're the safety professionals. We can have two and three fires in the oven, and we can do it with such grace and style that you will never know that we had this fire going on over here, this issue going on over here. So we're much more than just someone that pours a can of Coke. We're the people
Absolutely.
That are going to get you out of that plane if an emergency happens. Again,
Absolutely.
We're the first responders. We're the first responders. So, yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that's something that not only I try to stress in the book, Stars in the Sky, my book, but I also, as I said in all my interviews, that's one of the things that I do stress, is that you please pay attention, because that person that's standing in front of you is going to be or could be the person that's going to be the difference between getting you off that aircraft or not making it off the aircraft. So that's a shout out for that. And then another shout out I wanted to bring attention to, when the guests and my audience, if when you go on and look at the Blog Talk interview and the write up that I have for our wonderful Priscilla, you will see a picture of another famous person, and that person is Angela Davis. Tell us about that flight. Are you meeting her?
That flight was from Miami to Denver, and I happened to be the lead flight attendant that day, and I happened to look out, and I said to myself, I said, boy, that looks like Angela Davis. And I looked down, and it was. And I really am not a starstruck person, because Ringling, I've met so many stars that I just don't get starstruck. But for me, meeting Miss Davis and having my photograph with her was like sitting or being in the presence of royalty. Really, really was an exceptionally wonderful, nice, gracious, gracious, wonderful woman. And we talked about her.
I'm sorry. I think we're having a little technical difficulty.
That was a very interesting, wonderful flight to, like I said, to be in the presence of someone that is in the history books, in our history books, and to meet her. I remember growing up as a child reading about her, learning about her in history class, and just to finally meet her was just amazing.
Absolutely. And for those that, you know, for the younger audience that may not know, you must go on your internet if you have to and read about Angela Davis. But it was back during the movement, and she was instrumental in she was in the Black Panther. And isn't she an attorney also? I know you think she's a professor now.
Yeah, she is a professor, and she does a lot of public speaking. And she still she still teaches a little bit, she says. So, but I just found her to be fascinating and a very, very gracious woman.
Well, she hasn't been. I mean, that took a lot. But, you know, they were fighting for a cause. And as I state in my book, and I say to people, that is what's so important, and that's what pushes me. So my drive and my passion is I want the black flight attendant's position in the aviation world to be known because of all that we went through. And your history has gone from being in the Ringling Brothers, the circus. That was a breakthrough right there because we did not see as a child in going to the circus, we didn't see a lot of blacks in the circus. That was so interesting in me wanting you to be on the show is because
Thank you.
Go to the circus, yeah, and there were a lot of white faces. Now we know we have Circus Soul, which is a black circus, and thank goodness for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a great accomplishment. So on top of being talented, they didn't pick you just because you were black. They picked you because you had talent, and you were beautiful. And so And all of that becomes a part of they picked you because of who you were. And I like that. And you accomplished a lot. And you didn't even understand the doors that you were opening, I'm sure.
No, you know what? I really didn't. And, again, I've stressed this before that I was a part of greatness. I mean, it says it all, Ringling Brothers, the greatest show on earth, that I was a part of greatness, that I was a part of history. And, you know, again, if your listeners want to look up Bernice Collins, she's a fabulous person to look up. She just is an amazing woman, first black female clown, first black in many, many areas for Ringling Brothers. So just amazing.
Well, I would love to. I'm going to look her up definitely when we hang up because I wasn't aware. But then at that point, I think she probably was she behind the scenes, so we would never have known about her anyway, right?
Well, I mean, she has done a lot of things. Like I said, you know, first black clown, first black animal handler, just showgirl. Her credentials are really, really impressive. Also, she was a former TWA flight attendant.
We got that spirit in us, don't we? We're adventurous
we do.
And we love to
we
fly. We have a gypsy spirit. And that's another term that people don't hear very much anymore is a gypsy, the gypsy culture.
Well, you know what? I will share this with you really quickly. My last year out, the VP of talent, Tim Holst, he said, he's deceased now, but he said, Priscilla, I have not drawn up a contract for you because you keep telling me you're not coming back. And I said, Tim, I'm not coming back. He said, okay, what are you going to do? And I said, Tim, I'm going to be a flight attendant. And I hadn't even started applying with anyone. Several years later, my first airline, American Eagle, which is Endeavor now, I ran into Tim Holst, and he said, okay, so are you ready to come back to Ringling? I said, no, Tim, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And something that has always left a big impression that Mr. Holst told me, he said, I'm happy for you, but just remember, if you wake up and you don't enjoy what you're doing, it's time for you to walk away and do something else. Well, with American Eagle and United, I have 21 years. I have never felt like it's time to walk away. I love the industry. I love what I do, and I feel truly blessed.
And you are, because as you said earlier, there are so many people in 2016 still that want to become flight attendants and want
exactly
the process. Oh, and you have to be the chosen. You are definitely blessed. And as I stated in my book, I mean, the very first black flight attendant for Delta Airlines was in 1966, and that was Patricia Grace Murphy. And she was the very first one. But the struggle was before that in 1956 when Patricia Banks Edmonston took all the airlines to court. So that you could be hired and I could be hired because they were not hiring blacks. Yeah, and it is the greatest job on earth. I think that at this point, you know, my radio show is about introducing people in different fields in aviation, and we've gone from A to Z, definitely with you. I mean, this is just the highlight of my interviews to have you on.
Thank you.
But it is
Thank
one
you.
Of the things that I think is like your person, your friend was trying to say to you, I believe. It's like when you have it in your blood, the circus has to be something that when it's in your blood, there's no other life that anyone would want to live but be in the circus.
Right, exactly. So I just, as I've stated before, I realize that, as you stated, Casey, that I'm one of the chosen. Every day I thank God that someone chose me to represent a magnificent company, to be a part of something so magnificent. There is nothing in the world like being a flight attendant, where you see beautiful places, you stay in the most upscaled hotels. It's just an amazing job, and I feel very grateful for where I am right now in life.
Exactly. And so you would, if you were to speak to a group of young adults that really don't know what they want to do, would you encourage them to pursue a career in the circus, number one? And I know you would definitely encourage them to join aviation. It doesn't have to be a flight attendant. It doesn't have to just be a pilot. But there are so many wonderful fields in aviation that needs to be investigated, and I know that would be part of your speech to them. But what would you tell them if they decided that they wanted to join the circus? What encouragement would you give them?
If you want to see the world and have an adventure all by itself, Ringling is definitely the place to be, where every day is an adventure, it's excitement, it's just a joy, and it's fun. I would say go for it. I would definitely encourage someone to, even though that wasn't my thought when I would encourage someone, if you want to run away to the circus, go for it.
Yes.
I would say go for it. You know, and the other thing is, I have people every day that want to know how to be a flight attendant, and I encourage them to, you know what, if this is, I have a lot of people that say, you know what, this is my second opportunity or my second career choice. Do you think that I should do it? By all means, do it. You'll never regret it. It never feels like you're at work. It feels like you're on a playground having fun. It really does.
No, it is. It's the best thing in the world, and I do the same thing. I try to encourage ladies, if they can be in their 50s, and they'll go, oh, I'm too old. I said, no, you're not. And that's
absolutely
the thing.
Absolutely.
No age discrimination. As long as you can go through and do the physical things, as far as operating the emergency doors and things like
right.
that, if
right.
you can do it. So if you're physically able
exactly.
to do it and that's your dream, do it.
Do it. You know what? A lot of people allow maybe their age, where they come from, to be their stumbling block. Never let that be your stumbling block. It's all about being great, stepping outside of that circle and trying something new. And a lot of people are afraid to step outside of that circle and try something new. And that's one thing that I've learned from Ringling, is never to be afraid to step outside of the three rings. So I'm never afraid to step out. What's the worst thing that can happen that you try? You know,
absolutely.
The or you know, so I think for anybody out there, don't be afraid to reach for your dreams. And I like to give a special shout out to my niece, who's Miss Black Utah, Padriana London. And if you go on her website, you can vote for her. But I like to give a special shout out to her and wish her well in her choice of becoming Miss Utah 2016.
And give us her website so we can do that.
It's www.blackmissamerica, And you can go on there and vote for Padriana London.
And can you spell her name?
Yes, Padriana London, London.
Okay, and I hope my audience was able to get that. And if you wanted to repeat it one more time slowly, because I'm going to vote as soon as we end the program. So please give it to us one more time.
And her name is Padriana London, Padriana London, London, at www.missblackamerica.com.
Okay. Well, that is exciting. I tell you, your family is just full of adventure. So, what do you do then on your days off? I know that you're such an inspiration to listen to, and your spirit just comes across strong and encouraging. Do you speak to children, the youth, to tell them pursue your dream?
One of the things that I love to do when I have time is to speak to our young people and to encourage them to go after their dreams. It's not where you come from, it's where you're going. And I think a lot of our kids, our youth, get caught up in where they come from instead of where they're going. And, you know, if we have any children out there, adults, the world is yours. And never let anyone stop you from achieving your goals, your dreams. So that's one of the things that I love to do on my downtime. Another thing that I love to do is spending time with my wonderful husband, John. We like to ride bikes. And I have to say that our family is a family of aviation. My father-in-law is ex-management or retired management for American Airlines. My husband is a former GM for a major airline, and he works for aviation company. So we're a family of aviation. So those
in
are the kind
sky.
Of things that I like to do. Yeah, in the sky.
A family in the sky. I tell you, you just kept on whirling around from one means of transportation in the air or whatever. So that's exciting. Well, this has been so interesting, and I have learned a lot. And I was just trying to make sure before we wrapped it up that I ask all the questions that was on my mind with this exciting. And you just seem that you've made it so blasé, that's not the word that I want to use, but the fact of it is you jumped into this adventurous life and you just rode with it. You just ran down the road, and it wasn't about you couldn't accomplish. It was about I'm having fun at doing what I'm doing, and, oh, I can do that too.
Right. Exactly. And before we leave, I just want to say, as we say in the circus, may all your days be circus days. And to my United family, I want to say keep your head to the sky and keep optimistic about whatever it is that we're going through right now with our tinnitus.
Well, you have given such wonderful, encouraging words and an adventurous, like I said, when I wrote up the little introduction to you, this was going to be a whirlwind interview, and it has been, because my mind is swinging through the air, and now you're on the airplane, and are you just doing domestic, or do you fly international?
I do it all. I fly international. I fly domestically, so I do it all.
So we never know. So for the people out there, my audience, when you're flying United, you must look up and see if you see that pretty face, Priscilla Lingenfelter. And how could you forget that name? And as she flies through the aisle serving you, you'll go, I bet that is the lady that was the showgirl aerialist.
Thank you, Casey, for having me on your show, and much continued success with Stars in the Sky.
Thank you so much, and we enjoyed it, and I hope that you will pass the word on, but we're going to let you go as I close the show. But I really, this has been a wonderful hour, almost an hour of a wonderful interview, and I learned so much into that wonderful world of the circus life. So thank you, Priscilla, for being my guest today.
Thank you, Casey, and much success to you as well.
Okay, then. And that wraps up another wonderful show. I hope that you learned something, because I sure did. I had no idea behind the scenes life of a showgirl aerialist and now a flight attendant and was Mrs. Denver. And the reason, and as you will listen to the interview and go back and just the reasons that she definitely ran for Mrs. Denver was also just to bring awareness to our young black or children of color missing. And I think that was such a wonderful, worthy cause, and a selfless one at that. So once again, this is Casey Grant, and I am host to your radio show, The Fly Girl Show, which comes on every Wednesday at 11 Central Standard Time. Please feel free to call in. Call in with suggestions. Call in with questions. I'd love to hear from you. And my number is for you to call in is 347-857-3609. And tell your family, tell your friends, get them all involved. You never know who you may meet. You don't know what type of experience I will have you live through. And so please join me next Wednesday when I bring on another interesting guest. You never know who it may be. Once again, this is Casey Grant, and this is the Fly Girl Show, and we will see you next week. Have a great week.